Mr. Donnelly, Reel 6. We were talking about the time when you were in Hons and sort of rest and training, getting ready. What about the rest side of it? What recreations was the...
Ladies Band came out. What's a popular name, my woman. And I forget the name of it, but it was a very good band. And then we had a Chinese band came out, the Earth of Hons. And then we got 3 days leave into Tripoli. Now, we got the base because we were going for so many nights a day. And I got word from my brother who was in the Navy that he would be in Tripoli in such and such a day. So I did the correspondence with the Winter Squadron and I said, did I have my 3 days changed? So I took bonus and I only saw it in these days. So when I went up, our first day was from the harbour and there were no boats in. So I went to this office. Naval office, and I told him I would have to see my brother, but I said, we don't see the boat. So, what boat was in? So, we got from the town, he said, they didn't have any boat. So, I asked for his name and number, but I was able to give him that. He went, when you come back, he said, your brother's going to be home and survive with me. They were torpedoed on the way up. So, I never seen another small jet roll after that. I think it was true. Not that it made any difference for me, you know, but that was it. Never seen him.
And what was leave like in Tripoli like?
Well, it was just a matter of just what. You stayed in a hotel or whatever you could do, and that was it. And there wasn't very much to be done in, particularly. And I didn't see Gaddafi back that day. But then we came back, and I was sure that we were all certain they were going back to England. So they'd been out there for years. But then, we were told, well, listen, I mean, on your tanks tomorrow morning, fill up the petrol and ammunition and take as much extra petrol and oil as you can on the back of your tank because we're moving. And they said there'd be no ice on coming with us. So we went up to Tripoli and on his landing craft and landed over at Salerno.
What do you remember of the crossing? What were the landing craft tanks, landing ship tanks?
They were quite hectic, all right. It was not a long crossing. I mean, it was longer than the DD one, but it was okay. But when we got there, the reception, that we perfectly found the reception we got at London Salerno was worse than DD.
Now, did you land on the actual, the first day, or were you landing later?
We later. We said, well, I think we're good 2 or 3 days now, and the boat was sure we were. But landing at Salerno, I always remember it was worse than DD because we had no aircraft at all. And we met these Messerschmitts, they came down and died bombing us. And then we went ashore, landed at the Salerno, onto a wee wood, we thought. We stuck our head at the
What happened when you actually came ashore on the beach? Can you give us a bit more of a picture of what it was like?
Well, you see, there were shell in the beaches, well, we didn't know whether there were shell in the beaches, because you could see the boats coming in, the shell in the beaches. And that was the first day with what we called Navy Waffles. That was these 9-barreled mortars. So we'd never had them before.
What do you think of them?
Well, they were terrible because we had this winding up noise and we said, what the heck was that? Yes, that's usual. We knew in a minute, nine of them landed on at one time, they were in the same area. So we said, what is that? I said, that's about 10 or 9. 9 mortars, big round wheel. So then we went into the wood, as we thought it was wood, it was an archer. We stuck ahead of it, and it was just black grapes hanging by it. We lived on black grapes and tomatoes for many days.
And what effect did that have on you?
Oh, great, because we'd come from the desert for this, and it didn't do much for the tummy. And then the tomatoes were in the field. Well, the land.
So you landed round about the second or third day, you reckon? September 43, it would be about the 12th, it sounds like.
Could have been.
You're not sure, though,
yeah.
Were you under fire in the vineyard much?
Why? That's where the Navy was, where you know they were putting. So,
Never were fire. Was it all right if you were in your tank, or was it...
Well, if they didn't hit the tank, you know.
So if they got a direct hit, they'd put a...
They'd blow the tank a bit. So, then we went up to
What do you remember? Because there was quite some fighting in the valleys.
Yeah, very heavy. In fact, one place where it was nearly glued down the river after Nichols fell.
Before that, while they would break out to Naples, they had to get through the hills round Salerno itself. Now, do you remember anything about that? Cause
yes. From the hills, we were going along this little road, and from the hills, the Germans had anti-88mm guns up there, and we had to get off the road because the road was marked. And we came off, and we lost a truck. Christmas field. So they sat there till the fitters come up. And when we were sitting there, you know, they must have been under observation from an OP because there was a shell flew over. We were bloody stupid. The shell flew over, we were sitting there having a meal, all quiet. And the shell flew in about over the top of the turret and landed the field. The next shell was shot at the turret at the time. So that was like, he was gazing at us, you know. So nobody was moved. To this one young lad who was a co-driver, I said, well, bloody silly stuff here. He moved up to get in the tank. We made the last one in because all I needed was somebody to move. We all moved in into the tank. It was pretty soon we should be in there first thing anyway. However, they didn't hit the tank. But the ferry came up and took us back. But it was very, very difficult terrain from what the desert was because you couldn't see us in. We were sitting in the hills. We had nowhere any hills in the desert. The warfare was different altogether. So,
did it worry you the fact that there were civilians about? I mean, they had been it.
Didn't see any civilians at that time, at the land. But we didn't see very many civilians at all. But the people were dead. The villages we passed through were empty. The people were there. They had their Germans, and the people would start turning grapes to you in the tank, and would attempt to stop because the grapes would burst in the tank. Then you couldn't see them for flies. This was induced. So we told the people not to explain this to the people, not to have a week when you speak Italian, but no grapes, no fling them. They give us one, your hand or something, but no fling. Because they meant well, but they're bursting them at that. And next thing you can see a horde of flies.
Was this happening? So you were approaching Naples, it's through the hills. Anything else happened before you got to Naples?
No.
What about the entry into Naples? Is this.
Well, we didn't actually go to Naples. Naples was taken by the infantry, I think. And we went around Naples, and that's where we went to the Volturno River.
Well, what do you remember that? Because the Volturno crossing was quite a big thing.
Yeah, well, this is where we actually, and I've never seen any in our history, but there was actually a truce. Now, we were on there, we were with a big bank of the river. And if you come out the tank, you couldn't see the other side of the river. If you come out the tank, went to the top, you could see across. You know, it's not a very big river, but you can see across it. I say you see Germans moving about. So we sat there for a while, and then this guy who was supposed to stay on the top there and give us a word of them were coming. He said, there's a man here with a white flag. He was a German officer who spoke English. And he told us that we'd have a truce till about 4 hours.
So this is before you'd crossed the river?
Before we crossed the river. Now he said it was. Infantry were going across and getting sent back again, and they were doing patrols at night as well. But there were so many wounded Germans, he said, I'm British, but in the field here, so I know, apparently, and he would give us 4 hours so that we could remove our wounded and they could remove theirs. And we did that. Now, we said that we had to get a tank on the top to say, keep an eye on it. And they never fired us at all. We were clear to everybody that it's pointing my tank at the top.
Your tank?
Aye.
So you sat on top of the embankment.
That's right. Only takes one silly bugger to fire me away. But there were not a soul fired until the 4 hours was up. I mean, they fired a shot, but not at us. They let us know the soldiers come back. But we've got enough of our own wounded. But then the day boys come back, but they had just as many heavy covers as they said, we couldn't go. But we've got lies about it. But that was never a word about that truce.
Now, what about the actual crossing of the Volturno?
Well, the crossing of the Volturno was the first thing I can remember. We had to go around, and it was a bridge, it was on pontoons. It was the first pontoon, barely bridge, I ever went across. And I'll tell you about that later on. However, we went across this pontoon bridge to go to
it's quite a big river, wasn't it? What was it like on the bridge?
Well, it was shaky, but it took the time to go there. Now, when I come back from the army, I was working in bus garages, and I survived with a blacksmith. And I went in, and he'd been talking with the boys about the war, and he said, of course he didn't care, I've been in the army. He said, were you in the army at all? I said, well, look, can you remember when I was there? I bought a Bailey, floating Bailey bridge. I said, yeah, I want to run it. What the hell? He said, well, there was only one boat. He said, where was you? I said, oh, and I crossed with the boat. He said, well, you didn't know to. He was actually there as well, built the bridge. He was an engineer. He said, I didn't know. I said, well, we crossed the job. He didn't care if he had been in it there as well, you know. I said, well, I didn't know. But these lads suffered a lot of casualties and getting across the other side to get prepared as a bridge partner. So we crossed the bridge in the tunnel, and then we got up, lots of skirmishes on the way up.
What sort of skirmishes, what would a typical skirmish be like? I know you can't remember in one by one. What sort of thing would a skirmish be?
Although we had no casualties, in our troop, when you were here, never allowed getting knocked out, maybe 2 killed.
What by?
18 millimetres, anti-tank.
Not bazookas or anything like that?
Not so much bazookas, yeah, but anti-tank guns. Because when you...
How would you run into them? Well, how...
Well, you see, in Italy, there was quite a lot of high ground. And if you were coming across the road, you could be behind a farm house, you know, and a tree. And you wouldn't know it was going to fall, did you? And if you did see it, okay, you could reply. But if you didn't see it, you would depend on somebody else in the regiment or the squadron seeing it to fight the fire. But sometimes you didn't see it at all. You have no idea where it was. You could be looking at different, you could be looking straight ahead, you could be looking from the right. You have no idea, it's as bad as over here.
And what did you think of these 88 guns? You'd met them in North Africa, I presume, as well.
That was what we always called it, the tank man's bogey was the 88mm gun. They didn't have anything to compete with that 88mm gun. And it was the tank man's bogey.
What was so good about it?
Velocity. I could go from one front of the tank and come right to the back. High velocity, we had nothing to touch at all. Nothing. And then they told us when we went to the other ship with a great anti-tank gun, give us a 5.5 boys rifle. When we had that was 6 pounders, that was the best gun we had, was a 6 pounder anti-tank gun. On the tank, 18mm. We could put nothing higher than a 75mm gun on a tank. And we said, well, why not? So the recoil is so fast. It wouldn't be enough big enough. So I thought, well, you generally do it then. There's no answer to it then.
So these skirmishes would be, you'd basically run into an 88 gun. Oh, yeah. and that would be it. But
what is so many bazookas there? We had more of them.
Would you see much of the infantry, German infantry?
Oh, yes, yeah.
How would you deal with them?
Well, we just fired machine gun, but then, again, as I say, if they seen tanks coming, they were probably out of the way as fast as they could go, unless they had tanks in front of them.
You wouldn't tend to fire the main armament at infantry, generally?
No. Okay, the only time you fire the centre fire, if they were in a vehicle, you fire the centre fire, you have to stop the vehicle, you know. But then again, if people jump through, you stop them and all.
So the big gun was for other tanks and vehicles. Yeah. Just infantry, it was just machine guns.
Well,
and right, so that's the sort of skirmishing, you know, that was going on. And you were running up, I suppose the next river would be the Tiano, although that's just a trip.
The next one I can remember before, too, on the Gregoriano.
Okay.
We got to the Gregoriano River, and the river too, but we send patrols over at night, and they would come back in the morning. Then they had to come over after us.
Now, what were these patrols like? That you'd actually send tank patrols across, or infantry?
No, we'd just send patrols over at night.
Yeah,
just send infantry across at night, and they would go across and come back again in the morning.
I mean, a lot of the fighting was on things like Monte Camino and things like that, which is well, Caminos before that, on the big hill before. And a lot of it was very hilly country around there, mountainous, you'd call it. Were the tanks any use in that?
No, that's what I'm saying. We picked in the plains, and it was infantry had to do most of the work in Italy. The road too was, but it was infantry country. Same at Casino. We were some heck of a bunch of infantry in Casino. We were right in there, much good.
So what were you doing in the Garigliano area?
Well, the big man was stopped us in the Garigliano area, and the company went back to Africa. Now, whilst we were part of the 8th Army, but the 8th Army had landed at the tour of Italy, and they were coming behind us. So the rumour went round, okay, this is us. I couldn't go back. We've been waiting on the 8th Army, can't go back to join the 8th Army. I mean, from the American 5th Army. So that's when I went back, so the colonel came back, and he came up to speak to us, and he had us up behind this big barn, as it could be seen.
This is Colonel... you don't know? A different colonel from the original one.
So I thought I could give you the name of the room, but he said that to me, now, gentlemen, I've got some news for you. He said, you'll be here for the leave by the Americans who have come to take over from us. He said, then we'll go back to the Naples area. He said, and then we'll be returning to England. And the cheer that went up, you know, because some of these boys have been away for years. The cheer that went up, you heard them. He said, but, he said, we're going back to prepare for D-Day. He said, for that 3 days, I felt sorry for the infantry. They go across, they have a spandau friend of a bar. No one gets shot, that's the right time they were. But they did their job, I mean, they come back and report. And I felt really sorry for them because we were safe enough, let's say maybe, I don't know. So we went back, eventually the Yanks came up to go from us, and we went back to the Naples area. And we were there for about 2 or 3 days before we climbed up the Sewer statistics side.
What was that like?
Well, we went through what they left the pump line, you know, it was quite good. And the Vesuvius was still, you could still see it at night, the volcano was still, that was a good beacon for the RAF and for the German. You could see it for miles from the area, you know. So we went back, then we came back to England, and we stopped at...
Anything on the voyage back?
Yeah, we stopped at Aden on the way back, and they were right ashore one afternoon. And was, when we were in Italy, we've got these little 8-time with glass, a little 8-time with back ribbon. That's all we ever had. So, we should do it. The quartermaster, the big pillar, and then we then method of growing it, and then we eat. So, we've got across, we've got across to Aden, and we've got Aden, right ashore. And the big Yankee supply ship was there, wasn't it, Aden? However, it was near Gibraltar. We went ashore there, and the one best place, surprise that Miss Yagi could go, "Hi, boy, ride with me. Car, what is that thing about?" She said, "Oh," she said, "I'll give you a cat and say, let's go there." So the three of us all gave us, of course, they caught him, I said, "But he was in this room." So we get some geezers, we get some cats, we get some bit of back again, of course. Well, all of us boys must have done it, but all the ladies called over, and it's spark. Oh, he said, "God, bro, it's going to charge." So he said, "You'll get another bit of ribbon. You've got to charge 1 penny for the ribbon." He said, "And I'll be entered in your payment in red ink." And there it is, grace that you didn't. This was much to pay me in red ink, pay a penny for the ribbon. But we couldn't get into the eight. We wouldn't get us in the eight. So the fitters made a bomb when we came back. They gave me the little eights with the people on the Africa ribbon had won. And eight, if I was in the first army, or the 8th army, you see. So, then we came back, and we landed at Glasgow. You know, to take our desert rats off, there was no signs of, not to let them know that sometime they was back in Britain. But when we came off the boat, and sooner than white folk came to Glasgow, somebody asked, "Oh, I'm telling you where we've come from." However, they came ashore. And they put some trees, and we went right down to Norfolk. Well, we were talking about they're going to, they're just going to send us home and leave. So they sent us home and leave, I think, whatever it was. priest.
Where did you go to in North?
Camden. And I thought, you said, could have done all this in the boat. I said, if it's if it's going to meet me. But, no, that's what it is.
And when did you land? Was this December or January? Was it before or after Christmas?
I just can't remember.
Okay.
All I remember was going ready to get to Brandon after I came off the boat. And I said, and there was one lad met his uncle working out. And he told him, well, we're going down to Brandon. We got down to Brandon, and I just wanted to get issued and get warrants to pass him to get back home again. So we went home and leave. And then we came back. And Brandon was one hell of a place. It was we're in a wood. And the fight from Fofa Yeomanry had just left this village that we went into at Brandon. And then we got...
Would that be the first or the second?
I can't remember. It's just the fight from Fofa Yeomanry because you see the things that was... I think it would be the first one. However, we're there and we've got new tanks. We've got Cromwells.
Now, can you describe to me, you know, like we did before, what the Cromwells were like, characteristics, what the crew did, and what, you know, generally what you thought of it?
Well, I thought Cromwells were the best tank of the lot. But even beat each other. It was a low tank, 75 millimetre, and the speed was very, very good. Very good, very reliable. So we're doing a lot of training down there.
Well, and the armour was good.
The armour was good, but it was as good as it wouldn't stop anything. It wouldn't stop it, because that would stop anything we were going through. It all depends on the range as well, of course. Yeah.
And what did the crew do in the Cromwell?
The same thing, two in the front and three in the turret.
So exactly the same?
The same.
And... did you do any working up training in the Cromwells, or did you barely need any?
No, we did a lot of exercises. And
what were the exercises like?
Well, more or less for officers, but we used to go. Now, apparently there was an awful lot of red grain land down there from the army, but the farmers were telling it, growing things. So the colonel would take us out and say, but listen, you can't just do training on a road. So you have to... We scuttled through their fields and all, I made a mess of the fields, you know. Then the farmers, I think, when you went into the pub, the food would be dirty. But then again, we had to do training, and this is the area we're in. And there's a colonel, she goes, we came around, we have paid for this, you know. But we did our training, and we were quite happy with the Cromwell tanks. I was very happy indeed. And we did our training then. For quite a few weeks, after we got to leave there for a week, and then we're told we're going to a waterproofing area. So we went to this waterproofing area, and we were told.
And where was that?
Well, it's just outside. We landed it, and we boarded the boat at Felixstowe, but we didn't know where we were near Felixstowe. And we went to this landing, waterproofing area, never got out at night. You were confined to the camp, you couldn't get out. I can understand now, but the secrecy and the deed, you know, I can understand it, but I never told you the time. But they told us, if we waterproof these tanks and it's in a certain time, we'd get another day's leave. Now, that time was June. It was June when, you know, at the late nights we were working for, well, you know where to work for.
So it's right, that's very late, just before D-Day then.
Well, John, it was him. We waterproofed these tanks up there and we've got to leave. So we waterproof the tanks.
Now, how did you go about waterproofing? Do you remember now?
Why, a bus stick and all that. And then we got up to this fight, and then they got a little scoop on the intake, the air intake for the engine, and that was about water level. We even had to put a plug in my gun, a little explosive inside, so when you pressed it, it knocked the bung out, and the bus stick on the side of the tank all the way up. Make sure the water couldn't get in.
Did you test it?
Oh, no. No, we tested it all. So, we did this work from morning till night, and then we were told the next morning, that lies on your tanks, and right there in the ferries, we went to a bloody landcraft there. We were testing it, you must leave. Now, we're on this landcraft, we were lucky we went into this landcraft, a Yankee crew, a Yankee boat, and put the tanks underneath, and then went upstairs, and the food we got was luxurious. All they had was fancy trays, you know, all these new portions, and the food was great. Coffee on tap all the time. The guy was a coffee, take whatever you wish. Now, that thing always in the game, coffee, I prefer tea, but I took advantage of the coffee. And sailing. Well, we were sailing shortly, but then we were on that boat for 2 days before we sailed. But then we didn't know that then.
So, you were just sat on this tank, a landing ship tank. Did you stay with your tank, or were you allowed?
Tanks were downstairs. We were up on board in our own quarters. And then we went across the water.
Well, was there any rough weather? I mean, did you have any problem on the before you set off in harbour, in other words?
No, we don't. We didn't. It was rough at all.
Now, when did you set off then? You'd set off on the 5th for the landing on the 6th?
Yes. I don't know. We were supposed to go away in the 5th apartment, but we didn't know that at the time. But we went away and we went to it in the morning. And I'll never forget.
On the 6th?
It must have been the 6th. Because we went out and the boats. We realised that it must have taken a marvellous bit of organisation, because even us in the land car, bags, paper bags in case you were seasick. Everything was done. So,
and the channel was just
packed with boats. And then when we got near the coast, a big heavy cruisers were shelling it. And there were very few stuff coming back. There were one or two splashes, you see, but nothing came near our boat. Now, when we got near the boat, when we got near the coast, we'll go down below and mount your tanks and start them up. Now, we're starting up, the place we looked like was full of fumes. So we thought we'd shut them down again and wait until the captain told us to start them up. So we waited, we see nothing at all. It was in darkness, nothing at all. And he came on, the young guy went down there, the bed started up, he said, "I heard him, where I reached now." And we got to the beach, you heard it come in there. And then the front come down. Well, for all that days, these days work, I think we'll have a little bit that much water.
3 or 4 inches.
Yep. And then we looked back, we see now the boat stuck. Must have hit some underground stuff, you know. And we see a free dinner come off and disappear in the water. After all that, what we put in, there was that much of water, and we're right up on the shore. And we've got an awful lot of our lives, infantry had gone before, and you see all the bodies all lined up where they've been apart for the tanks coming off, you know, and they're landing the beach, telling where to go. And we just got right up. And
was the beach under fire?
Yes, yeah.
Was it directed fire or indirect fire?
Indirect fire, because honestly, I never yet seen a German plane all the time we landed. You know, when we landed, it's everybody Messerschmitts, everything flying over. But the RAF were going over, you see other big bombers going over as well. Never seen a German plane. And the organisation of that deviated, must have been deviated. You think that the stuff that they need to think of, we gave you a paper bag in case you were seasick on them. They didn't have that detail.